coming up on American Parlor Songbook. Join us for sketches, stories, and music from the studio. It's a show about songs this week, where we'll explore the world of lyrics and melodies. Now, they say there's only 12 notes to choose from, but I don't think they're counting the ones that I can sing out of tune. I figure with my poor pitch and lack of rhythm, we're good for probably 1,000 notes, maybe two. Now, in the meantime, I'll tell a true tale about my childhood basement band, and I'll sing a song about the Pope. Then we'll look under the tiny desk and dig up some overlooked entrants from that popular public radio contest. We'll hear from Queens, New York's Punch the Sun and Denver's Audible, as well as another one-man sketch from comedian Stephen Benequist, next on APS.
This is American Parlor Songbook with your host at the piano, J.P. Houston.
And as always, on the other microphone, she still insists my snoring isn't music to her ears, Julie Van Dusen. Song. A melody, the lyrics, the phrasing, the structure, right? Verse, chorus, bridge, or middle eight. Rarer these days, a prelude. You can tell a whole story with just a few words because you've got the tune and the harmonic structure to back it up, right? Complex melodies and deep lyrics like Paul Simon, Hoagy Carmichael, Lil Yachty. Now, if you don't get it, you're not drinking enough scissorp. Much like mumble rap, impaired judgment is a prerequisite to enjoying this program. Now, I'm not suggesting our listeners should be intoxicated. I'm just saying that I am, and I get it now. Lil Yachty is basically Mozart and Mark Twain. But I digress. I don't know what digress means. I double digress because I use that line practically every week. And where was I? Right. Song. The ones we sing together, you know, all the way back through history, from a common voice, an answer to the same repeating question. Why? That's really it. Why? Maybe how sometimes. A feeling, a lingering question in the universe, in us, in the universe, answered with words and melody. Why, or how, or when? Oh, I guess some songs are just instructions, mostly about where to put your limbs next. So those two, it's whys, or hows, or whens, or Macarena. That's it. That's all the songs.
So before you pick the needle up and turn it off, let this one play on. Yeah, before you make the music stop, let it drop. This was someone's song.
Songs have been around forever, since cavemen, Neanderthals even. Neanderthals had the most beautiful, angelic voices. Don't believe me? How do you explain Ted Nugent? The voice of an angel and deadly crossbow aim. Beat that, Joni Mitchell. Anyway, we've been singing songs all along throughout history. Now, the ancient Greeks figured out song, and they hadn't even discovered pants yet. All you needed was a lyre and a bedsheet. One of the oldest complete songs ever found was carved in a Greek tombstone, the Sikelos epitaph. It was a moving tribute to a wife from a husband. It read, "While you live, shine. Have no grief at all. Life exists only for a short while, and time demands its toll." The tablet even included the melody inscribed above the lyric. Strangely enough, it was the melody to Cheeseburger in Paradise. Even stranger, it's the Marvin Gaye estate that's suing for infringement. I guess they're claiming he wrote every melody ever, past, present, and future. We're going to get into publishing later in the song after a chorus, which is probably a ripoff of another song.
So before you pick the needle up and turn it off, let this one play on. Yeah, before you make the music stop, let it drop. This was someone's song.
Now, back in the Middle Ages, traveling minstrels carried lutes, and they told melodic tales. Troubadours, right? Some of the first genuine cultural hit songs came along in that era. They didn't have platinum, though. They certified them sheep. Greensleeves, for example, went triple sheep. I don't know, I read it on Wikipedia, sounds good enough. Anyway, Greensleeves was a really big early hit. It spread around England like the plague, a real earworm. No, actually, those were a real thing. I should say it was catchy. No one knows who wrote it, though, because, well, there was a bunch of versions all registered right around the same time. There were even variations with different color sleeves. That's true. There was a version about white sleeves being his delight. I guess they had a real thing for sleeves. It was echoed centuries later in Chris de Burgh's classic Lady in Red Sleeves. Don't quote me on that. I'm not a musicologist. I'm a mediocre public radio host. Anyway, Greensleeves, it was a big hit. And it was written in the Romanesca form, which was a repeating sequence of four chords with a simple repeating bass and a melody over top like this. Just a small town girl! Something, something, Greensleeves.
So before you pick the needle up and turn it off, let this one play on. Yeah, before you make the music stop, let it drop. This was someone's song.
The modern song form started to take shape in the American minstrel show era. Embarrassing historical social issues aside, minstrel show songs are some of the most enduring. Camp Town Races, Old Folks at Home, Turkey in the Straw, Oh Susanna. Most of them were actually written by one person, Stephen Foster. Wrote just about every one of those songs he used to sing around the campfire. His B sections were kind of like our choruses today. A lift in the feeling, a big hooky sing-along vibe. Gonna run all night, gonna run all day. Catchy as anything and still singable around the campfire to this day. Our standards, the ones in the Great American Songbook from the 1920s to the 50s mainly, those songs, they've stuck around too. Cole Porter, Irving Berlin, Jerome Kern, Gershwin. Structurally, they mostly used an AABA structure, which I think is pronounced ABBA, thus putting Dancing Queen squarely in the Great American Songbook, as it should be. Again, not a musicologist, public radio idiot. Okay. The songs were often written for musicals back then, and that AABA form was fronted by a freely sung prelude of sorts, a little melodic introduction to transition from the dialogue of the play. Many of those preludes are forgotten today. Some of them survived, like, there's a saying, old says that love is blind. Yeah, you know, that's someone to watch over me, right? But others, like Somewhere Over the Rainbow, had a prelude too, and it's mostly forgotten. I'd sing it for you now, but Marvin Gaye's estate would sue me.
So before you pick the needle up and turn it off, let this one play on. Yeah, before you make the music stop, let it drop. This was someone's song.
For the last half of the 20th century, pop songs pretty much went verse, verse, chorus, verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, chorus, or some approximation of that. In the 1980s, they fell in love with the pre-chorus, right? A little climbing musical tease before bursting into the real full chorus. Because being triumphant was very important in the 1980s. Like 90% of the songs were for training montages. So they had to go out on the edge of the top of a dream at the limit. You see, they liked pushing it all the way in the lyrics, right? The edge, the limit, breaking the borders, that sort of thing, right? Sometimes the bridge was just a screaming guitar solo and fighter jet sounds. Now, as pop songs moved into the 2000s, 2010s, the structure got a little harder to define. The melodies did too. Almost became more sound collage than verses, choruses, harmonies, those things, right? Interesting rhythms, sound effects, clever rhymes, post-music music. Can you tell I'm really fighting hard here to not sound like the old square guy? I guess you could sing along to Taylor Swift or Katy Perry at gunpoint. I mean, if you had to, you could do it, right? But there are a lot of good songs out there still. Maybe just not on the front page of TMZ, right? They're out there, though. Smaller sing-alongs, smaller rooms, smaller bands. Smaller singers, elf-sized singers. In my pocket now, I have tiny singers. No. Out there somewhere, there's good singers and good songs. Singing together has always been part of it, right? It's part of being alive. Songs are essential. They get us by. They make us dance. They tell our story. So we're going to look for some good songs this week and see if we can't find a few. Stick around and follow the bouncing ball.
So before you lift the needle up to turn it off, let this one play on. Yeah, before you make the music stop, let it drop. 'Cause this was someone's song.
Now, one of the truly oldest forms of song is the hymn. And in the Catholic Church, the Pope sings in Latin during Mass, right? Now, this is actually true. The current Pope slipped up and accidentally uttered the Italian F word. He really did this. Finally answering the question, does the Pope swear in the woods? It seems the answer is yes. He's only human. So I wrote a song about it.
Deus pravidabed, Deo patre amicis, Dominus vobiscum, amor proximi pe...
Oh, let me just try that one again. Hold on.
Beati Papa Spiritu, Benedictus qui venit, Beata Virgo Maria, Benedictum est amim. Oh, I'm only human, created in his image, answered in a prayer one time. He said he's just like you, man. When he stubs his toe, the expletives flow like wine. Deus Samum Bonum, Laus Deo Fiat Lux, don't say I didn't warn you, Deus Miserator, Crux Decusata, oh, I'm only human, everybody does it, he who cast the first stone duck, you know I'm just like you, man, trying not to lose it, even holy men say from the dawn of time, when Adam said to Eve, leave it on the vine, oh, we will have to leave. Temptation got the best of her. She had to scratch the itch. When Adam heard God's angry word, he called Eve a bit impulsive. Oh, I'm only human, everybody does it. He who cast the first stone duck, you know I'm just like you, man, trying not to lose it. Even holy men say, forgive me.
I'm Sasha Veneers, and you are up close. Talented, philanthropic, dead. All words used to describe former Beatle and all-around lovable twit, Paul McCartney. From bursting onto the scene in 64 to his untimely demise and body double replacement in 1966, Paul is no stranger to the limelight. Since the boyish bowl-cut good looks of his early days, to his snazzy old lady wig, the walrus has continued to charm audiences around the world from beyond the grave. I sat down with a human marionette to ask him about his future and his yesterday. You see what I did there? Yesterday. Does it play? No? All right. Paul. May I call you Paul?
You can call me whatever you want. Just don't call me Sunday, because it's not a name.
All of those hits. Yesterday, Let It Be, Hey Jude, The Macarena.
You just sort of sit down at the old piano nano there, you know, give your head a little bobble, let your fingers do the walking.
All the way to the bank!
A one-legged lady got half.
And you're sure this isn't the plot of The Fugitive?
You just gotta sort of, you know, take the what do you knows with the how do you do.
Translator. Could I get a translator in here, please? With his granny in a suit playing a backwards cello charm, a catalog of post-70s mediocre tunes, A bobble-headed, easy-go-lucky mood. Macca has us all wondering if he'll ever face the truth of his premature passing. After 50 years of mounting credible evidence, cataloged by an army of aging internet detectives with nothing better to do, the long and winding road has led Sir Paul to the end of the long and winding road. Is he the winner of a hasty look-alike contest? Body doubled after a fatal car crash? Rehearsed in plastic surgery in Africa? Subbed in as an imposter puppet who looked identical to, sounded like, and continued to write songs as good as the man he replaced? Or am I crazy? Only logic will dictate. So I hunkered down to get to the cream at the center of the bullseye in the middle of the layers of the onion donut. Does the name William Shears Campbell mean anything to you?
I just sort of said to Ring, you know, hey, ring-a-ding-doo, why don't you sing us a tune? We'll call you Bill, you
misdirection.
Know? Misdirection. Shears, like a nice haircut, you know.
Like your little African makeover?
I just sort of went out for a drive, and the next thing you know...
You died, didn't you?
Thought I'd stop for a little moose boosh,
What's
you know?
That, Billy?
Little moose boosh, like a little appetizer, you know.
You're sweating, Billy.
I said, hey, Jules, sounds like a tune,
come on,
right?
Admit it.
If I play the bass upside down,
because
you know,
Billy is right-handed.
I put a couple of straws up in my cheeks.
You're
there, you know, like the walrus. And
Paul played left, Billy played right.
George says, why not the didgeridoo,
so you put in a backwards message.
John says cranberry sauce because, you know, ring-a-ding-doo was eating a turkey leg.
You
know,
did it
like
because you wanted everybody
Ringo
to
Ringo took a
know.
Nap, so he took a nap, so
that's
I
right.
Edit
out
tom-tom,
now, Paul.
You know,
spit
little
it, Macca!
All right, you got me. I'm dead.
I'm Sasha Veneers, and I'm the fifth Beatle. We'll be right back with Steve Guttenberg!
Every year, National Public Radio holds its Tiny Desk Contest. You might be familiar with it. Forcing would-be singers and songwriters behind ever smaller and more dangerous desks. And it's only a matter of time before someone gets hurt. A few are chosen for the national attention, and many are lost in the shuffle. Since we're discovering songs this week, I thought I'd browse through some of those overlooked entrants and see if there aren't some hidden gems in there. Found some I liked, and ask them to submit their performances for air here. Our first spot comes to us from Denver, Colorado, a laid-back hip-hop tune and a great live studio performance from Audible.
Yo. Everybody wanna be down with a killer till they pull it. Tell them gather around a tale of five bullets. We tailor this sound, this is that found footage. Could it, should it, would it be too much for me to ask your name upon our first contact? Make it to the Hall of Fame upon our first contract. Address you in a righteous way so there's no combat. Got that, do it civilly. Least of all, it's you, most of all, I'm torn. Already added keys, don't make us call the horns. Corpus of Audible coming to torch you all. Hot raps, drop that, crispy, please. Huh, huh. Up, up, up in a way, so much you can say. Up, up in a way, so much you can say. Up, 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 up in a way, so much you can say. We going up, up, and away, yo. Audible sprouts that farm fresh produce, it's no use. Opposition gets to know you, you know the leader's procedure and it's a go-to. So you know you owe us peace. Listen close, hear the leaves growing. Lawn is lawn, doesn't need mowing, even after seed sowing. Locate our outer shell when you beach comb it. Preach then, reach then, teach then, leave. Make sure to taste the raw metal lingers after. Bring the rapture when nobody's ever seen it capture. Wean it back before they pin your wings backwards. Sacrificial on my knees. Huh, huh, huh. Huh, up and away. So much you could say. Yeah. Huh, up and away. So much you could say. Huh, 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 huh. Up and away. So much you could say. We going up, up, and away, yo.
What you hashtag in a glad bag? Local art smash with your dad's pass. Blast from the future, present is a mad dash. Wrote an oath in 012, we gotta have that. Huh. Can't explain this intelligence. No slack, cross play with the melanin. Skin deep, but never cosplay with the impotent. Oath two on stage, then we ripping it. Huh. Huh. Up, up and away. So much you can say. We going up and off. Wake up. Up, up. Up, up. Up, up and away. So much you can say. Who are we? We are audible still.
You can find information about Audible and their upcoming EP at weareaudible.com. A lot went on down in the basement at 171 Wheeler Avenue. That floor sloped to a drain in the center of the room. But it didn't stop my old man from carpeting, wall to wall, right up to the thinnest wood paneling money could buy. A nice multicolored 1970s deal, holding on into the 80s. Good for making slop sounds when it flooded. You step across the carpet there, just slop, slop, slop. And it did flood every couple of months. I guess from his perspective, it was all worth it. Keep the kids down in the basement. Get them out of your hair. And he still had a little hair back then. So we'd be relegated to playing upstairs until it all dried out, chomping at the bit to get back down there and listen to 45s or put on plays or bang on the instruments. We'd always jump the gun, though, tumble down the tiny steps and squish across the marsh to the record player, a dusty old stack of hits left from our older brother a little before our time. AM standards from the 70s, a tie yellow ribbon, playground in my mind, Delta Dawn. Every one of them had their own original dance routine that we created. Sweet Gypsy Rose, the song, it had a strange ritual that consisted of piling up all the pillows in the center of the floor and then leaping back and forth over them. Real highbrow modern dance stuff. We started early, real young. Trying to mimic our favorite records, right? We began as tennis racket playing superstars and taking it a little too seriously. We'd break into mom's makeup and get kissed up like the demon, the star child, the spaceman. It was always a fight to see who got stuck being the cat. Usually me, since I was the youngest. The truth is, we'd start out with the intention to rock and roll all night and party every day, but we'd usually get bored and go back to jumping over the pillows to Sweet Gypsy Rose. It wasn't long before we picked up the real instruments down there. Melissa on the paper-skin Muppet drums, and Nikki on a two-string bass with a bow and arrow neck, and the neighbors, Tommy Ferrugia on guitar, Christian on the sax, little Noah, so young he'd play the wrong end of the acoustic guitar, and me on the early electric keyboard with tiny buttons. You could only play one note at a time. Until I discovered you could sort of twist and squeeze it. It would short out, and it would hold the previous note over it. But two notes is all you need to play rock and roll, and I played the heck out of those two notes. And obviously invented circuit bending by accident. Then the sound that came out of that room must have been a cacophonous mess of gongs, twangs, and squeals. But to us, it was beautiful music. Again, from the top, counting in was half the battle. And Melissa, my sister, she reveled in that stick-click shout-out. 1, 2, 3, 4. The parents upstairs dying. And then the finale. Yeah, the finishing move was just as important as the notes themselves. It sticks up in the air, windmill leaps, tongues out, and I'd knee slide across the floor, realizing mid-slide that I was in shorts and yelp from the pain of the rug burn. And my big brother Dave, he'd strut down the stairs with a couple of cool stoner friends and give us some sage advice. Of course, it wasn't sage that they'd been smoking. We only knew it as the strange smell of unknown origin. He was the king of the neighborhood Cheeches and Chongs, long reddish hair, longer at the back than the top, of course, headband pants, tight on top, wide at the bottom. I once caught him primping the back of his mullet in the mirror, and I said, Dave, it's a charade. You can't have short and long. You're lying to yourself. And he took another primp and admired himself, turned to me in the mirror and said, but I likes the charade. And then he strutted off. So he'd come down into the basement once in a while, and we were playing, and he'd give us that advice, right? And he'd walk down there with his mullet. Only in Canada, no, in Canada it wasn't called a mullet, it was called hockey hair, you see, because they'd put the helmet on and cut the bangs off so they could see and leave it long at the back so when they skated, they still looked hip, right? So anyway, he'd come down into the basement and he'd say, no, man, you've got to feel the music, man. I'd push the keyboard against my face. No, I can't feel it. No, feel it. And then he'd strut off to cruise for chicks, some kind of Starsky and Hutch mobile, I think. We started down there with attempts at our favorite songs, but you know, we soon realized that you had to learn to play the instruments to do covers. Originals. Yeah, that's where it's at. Originals. You can just play anything you want. There's no such thing as a mistake, right? Any garbage we can barf up is artistic expression, real rock and roll. Real rock and roll. But we knew that, well, if we were going to make the big bucks one day, we'd need hooks. Stadium-sized hooks. Shouting, pulse-pounding, fist-pumping earworms. The kind that could take an 8-year-old all the way to the top of the imaginary basement charts. Nose to the grindstone, a crack squad assembled down there, hotbed think tank of incredible song lyrics. Rock around the crocodile rock. No, too derivative, not enough rocks. I know, how about rock, rock, rock? I know for sure that it rhymes. And then Dad made his entrance, on a mission, I think, to embarrass us. I don't know. What you guys need to do is come up with a gimmick. He suggested rock opera, not a rock opera, but rock meets opera. And then he leapt into action, dancing around like a mongrel Mick Jagger, Bill Gates, Pavarotti hybrid. You're my Figaro, baby, Figaro, Figaro. The goof in his cut-off jean shorts there, prancing around in front of me and my friends. He'd cut those shorts so short in the summer that he was in danger of hanging a pocket, or worse. And then, out of the mist... They say it might only come once in your whole career. And when it comes, it hits you right in the face like a ton of bricks. A bona fide, honest-to-goodness, radio-igniting hit song. We all just sat there in silence, marveling at it. So subtle, yet bold. Edgy, but not too edgy for the middle of the road. God, did they make titanium records? Because platinum isn't big enough for this thing. It's going titanium. Back up that bunny truck straight onto my yacht because, oh my God, I can't believe that I came up with that. You? What do you mean you? No, it was me who came up with that. No. It was me. Oh, we all started it. Release the hounds. There's something that happens when people smell potential money. Like sharks in the water. Well, they lose their minds and they go into a cash frenzy. A perfectly sane, run-of-the-mill nice guy can turn on a dime if there's enough dimes. Office lottery pools explode into fistfights and lawsuits. Cousins become enemies over grandma's last $20,000. But none of these, they didn't come close to what followed the creation of that sweet, sweet rock and roll hook. There were tears. It's the only thing that ever mattered to me. Bold declarations. It's a masterpiece, and you thieves aren't touching it. Not little Noah, though. Well, little Noah, he just sat there in the corner playing his backwards and upside-down guitar. The rest of us went to war. War over the inevitable future royalty jackpot that we just unleashed. The Ferrugia brothers teamed up. 50-50, sharesies no matter who wins. Melissa went at it with the old drummer's chestnut. No, I wrote the beat. I carefully laid out my case. I'm the only one with the rhyming skills. It's only logical that it's mine. Listen, cat, hat, fat, that, mat. I rest my case. The band started to crumble, falling to the floor and getting washed down the center drain like so much sludge. Cue the behind the music. And then things weren't so ring around the rosy. That's it. I've got it. We're going to settle this with a good old-fashioned eeny, meeny, miny, moe. That's kid democracy, right? All in agreement. Everybody's in. Good. All right, here we go. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Catch a tiger by the toe. If he hollers, let him go. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Yes, it's mine. I told you. No. Hold on. It always ends the same way if you don't do the whole song. You have to do the full song. Besides, I didn't want. But no, you have to do the whole song. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Catch a tiger by the toe. If he hollers, let him go. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. O-U-T spells out. Ha ha, I told you. It was me all along. No, 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 no. That's not the whole song because I didn't win. But no, it's not the whole song. You got to do the whole song. All right. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Catch a tiger by the toe. If he hollers, let him go. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. O-U-T spells out. My mother told me to pick the very best one, and that is Y-O-U. Finally. No, 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 no. I didn't win yet, so we got to do it again. The whole song. I'm talking about the big song, the one that's fair. All right. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Catch a tiger by the toe. If he hollers, let him go. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. O-U-T spells out. My mother told me to pick the very best one, and that is Y-O-U. This rhyme can go on forever as long as kids can make stuff up until they win. The game is spelled G-A-M-E, spells game, and now I win and you don't. So there. Melissa storms out of the room. Nikki breaks down in tears. The Ferrugias, they declare their crayon contract law. I scribble down the lyrics for some paper proof. I throw down my pencil. You're all a bunch of no-talent, song-stealing, no-good degenerates, and I can't work with you amateurs anymore. And that was it. The band descended into chaos and split up into four separate side projects. A rock band, a new wave act, a breakdancing troupe, and a lemonade stand. Well, that would-be platinum cassette recording, it was buried. And that beautiful masterpiece of a song, it vanished into the ages and never to be heard. Christian went into real estate. The Ferrugia brothers, they got day jobs. Little Noah, he plants trees. Me, joke's on you, you song-stealing jerks. I've got my own radio show. And although I'm reasonable, sure, it was the Ferrugias who came up with it. As they say, history is written by the victor. So allow me, for the first time since the 1980s, to officially publish the greatest piece of musical poetry ever committed to media, a lyric so earth-shattering it destroyed my childhood band, a staggering work of unprecedented genius, eloquence, and artistic beauty. Here we go. Fire, breathing in the city. Fire, breathing in the city. I'm too young to retire, so I think I'll go on just a breathing my fire. Thank you very much.
Down the stairs where the 45s are, racket strings like a rock and roll star. We were young, playing catch with the sun, shooting jacks with the stars, when the world was ours.
Welcome to Up the Arts, the BBC programme that supports the arts and helps explain them. I'm your host, Rogelio Smythe-Thompson. Today we tackle a tricky subject, mutiny. No, I'm not talking about the Navy. I'm talking about rock and roll. For just as a ship has a captain, a rock band, or most of them, has a leader. And while it is easy to imagine that bands always work in harmony, sometimes someone blows the wrong note. And if he keeps flatting, he may find himself out on his ear. To find out about the inner workings of a real-life rock and roll power struggle, we traveled to Oceanside, California, and met up with the members of Riptide. So, you are Riptide. Introduce yourselves.
Riptide! I'm Bud Clydesdale, lead guitar.
Steve Slaborn, bass guitar.
Yeah. And that's Peck Heinlein on the drums.
And your singer? Yeah, DJ. Well, we figure since this story is about our revolution, and he's the new guy we brought in, we'd best to tell the story.
Yeah, he's out getting French fries and writing songs, as usual.
Yes, by all means. Tell me about this revolution.
Well, Riptide started about 8 years ago. It was me, Steve, Peck, just a power trio, you know, playing clubs around SoCal, no singer. One night, we seen this flyer out the back of Thunderballs.
Yeah, it said, frontman looking for scorching guitarist, bass, and take no prisoners drummer. Tryouts this Saturday. Bring your instruments and bring your dude.
Yeah!
Dude?
Like attitude.
Yeah, so that Saturday, we go to this warehouse, this rented warehouse in the industrial district, and there we met B.O.
B.O.?
Those were his initials, or his name.
Yeah, he didn't smell or nothing.
And that was the dude that put up the poster at Thunderballs. You know, he just pointed at the amps, and he said,
plug in. And so we plugged in. And we just started rocking, you know? We were just lost in the groove, forgot where we were, until all of a sudden we hear this voice like, you can't, there's no imitating it. It's like haunting. It's like a banshee, a vengeful soul of the damned who's come back, you know, to lay waste to those who wronged him.
You had a good voice.
That's a crux of it. Like, you know, he was like half Tom Waits and half Chris Martin. With a little bit of Justin Bieber thrown in. Absolutely, absolutely. And a little bit of Bieber.
Boop, boop, Bieber.
And we're in the jam and we're all just like staring at each other. We're like, whoa, you know? And the next thing you know, we're on a tour bus with Riptide painted on the side. Yeah, you know how if this was a movie, you would like smash cut and 1 minute it's the first time we all met and then instantly you're in a tour bus? That's what happened to us. You mean literally? Yeah, literally, literally, literally,
literally.
I mean, we've all done some substances, you know, but nothing that would make us all collectively at the same time experience this sort of a warp in the space-time continuum. I can't really explain it, but there we were, at the end of that jam, instantly on a tour bus labeled Riptide.
Going to Coachella.
Wow, you guys hit it big.
Well, we play Coachella all the time, you know, except during the Coachella Festival. But, you know, if you're there the rest of the year, you had a pretty good chance of seeing Riptide, you know. Yeah. We had steady gigs all around the Southland.
Sometimes into the Southwest.
I'm sorry, I'm a foreigner.
The Southwest is east of the Southland.
Yeah, you got the Southland, you got the Southwest, and then somewhere kind of wedged in there, you also have, you got SoCal.
NorCal, too.
Yeah, we sometimes played NorCal, too. Anyway, we had fans. We had a MySpace page, man. We had it all. And all of us were in top form, you know, feeding off of each other like...
Basically like a bunch of parasites, you know? I mean, for want of a better word.
Well, yeah, I mean, like maybe something less disgusting, but basically that.
And, man, B.O. was killing it, too, on the vocals. And not only that, he was crushing it on the lyrics.
But soon, before long... He was crushing something else, our spirits. The more we toured, the more rules he had. No smoking on the tour bus, always use headphones on the tour bus, no fish in the tour bus microwave.
No doing number
limited body functions on the bus. I mean, true, it does make it bad for everyone, but like, you know, why even have a bathroom, you know?
He was really nitpicky, man. After every show, he'd drone on and on about how we bombed. Drone, bomb, drone, bomb.
He kept cutting our solos down. And finally, we had a meeting, just the three of us. Bud, Beck, and me.
Steve!
And we decided we had enough. And I should say, our manager is telling us we need to make changes all this time. This is, I'm talking about Don Plump. Most people call him DJ. So DJ was telling us we could do better, we weren't as good as we used to be. Says B.O. ain't even from SoCal, and we should replace him with, you know, well, himself. Says he can make Riptide great again.
So we're like, that sounds pretty good to us. So one day, at the end of a gig at Angel Stadium,
again, wow, you guys really...
We're at the Angel Stadium Bar and Grill. It's just down the road. We take B.O. aside and we say, B.O., you're out. He says, I'm out. We say, you're out. We're sick of your rules. Rules ain't cools. Rock and roll is about breaking all the rules. Like that Jamie Foxx movie. You know, the one where he breaks all the rules.
I think it's called Breaking All the Rules.
That's the one. That's the one, exactly. Anyway, that's it. He says, who are you going to get to take my place? Huh? Impossible. We say, DJ is going to take your place. He says, have you even heard DJ sing? We say, no, we don't need to. He's the best singer in the world. He keeps telling us that. He keeps promising us he'll play us the demo tape. Don't worry. But he just keeps forgetting. So B.O. just says, whatever. And then he just walks out.
So things changed fast. DJ was full of energy.
And we're like, hey, you know, DJ, we should keep playing some of our old songs. You know, keep a couple of them until we learn your new ones and make them sound good, you know? And he's like, no, let's go ahead. And then...
And he's like, also, I'm going to get us better deals on tour. Remember, I was your manager. So he calls up all the venues, all of them, tells them he's in charge, BO's gone. And they're like, well, we don't know if we want to book you. And he's like... Oh, you're going to book us, and you're going to pay double what you used to. And, man, he burned all these bridges.
And as we're gearing up for the new Riptide tour, DJ's fired all our usual crew, man. He hired a roadie with one arm, a sound guy who's hard of hearing. I mean, these are questionable choices, you know? This girl who does the lighting for us, but she's, like, legally blind. And our publicity person, this is no kidding. No kidding, he's a monk who just took a vow of silence. I mean, that might be a little limiting.
Our first gig, though, is tomorrow night. It might all be worth it once we finally hear DJ's amazing voice. I can't wait.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Well, that's inspirational. That's a story of Riptide and their rock and roll revolution. I'm sure we'll all stay tuned. I'm Rogelio Smythe-Thompson, and this has been Up the Arts.
And that was, of course, our regular one-man sketch team, comedian Stephen Bennequist. We do have enough time for one more song that we found under the desk, another overlooked band from Queens, New York. Here's a live studio performance from Punch the Sun. Find them on their website at punchthesunband.com.
They say it's a season, doesn't that mean it's supposed to wind down? They say there's a reason, doesn't that mean that there's something profound?
Well, that's our show. Thanks for listening to American Parlor Songbook. APS is produced by the American Parlor Company, presented by KVCR, and available on PRX. You can find information about the program by visiting our website. I'd recognize that voice anywhere. It's Ethel Merman in a meat grinder.
Ha, ha, ha. Very funny. Now, tell me why I can't hit this note.
What note?
This one.
I don't hear anything.
Exactly.
Perfect. Good night, then.
No, you goon. I'm trying to sing it.
I'm not surprised you lost your voice. You nearly ruptured your vocal cords trying to shout above that choir.
What choir?
Of course you forgot. You managed to down 8 Manhattans in the lobby before the show.
8? Please. That's like throwing a snowball at the Titanic.
And the great ship went down when you sailed from the Manhattans with a handful of blue pills.
Delicious.
Delirious.
Sounds like fun.
Sounds like an indecent exposure rap.
Clothing just keeps me from truly experiencing the world.
And the rest of us from experiencing the horror.
I'm breathtaking.
Literally. You shoved a handful of cake into the mayor's mouth. He could have died, you know.
Oh, trust me. That balloon knows how to eat.
I thought I was in the clear when we finally made it to our seats and you passed out cold.
Oh, I always catch a quick nap before a performance.
Martha, it wasn't your show.
Every show is my show, Wendell.
It's an all-male choir.
Not anymore.
No, now it's a little old lady choir, I suppose. They were right in the middle of a rousing chorus of Grand Old Flag when you suddenly awoke.
With a spring.
Like the creature from the Black Lagoon, crawling and stumbling to the stage, clothing falling off in your wake.
Freedom!
Not for long. The choir attempted to carry on, the audience cringing as you slinked your way up that flagpole.
Like Blaze Star.
It was very dangerous.
Nonsense. I've scaled higher.
No, not for you, for the conductor holding the flagpole. Thankfully, he was strong enough to prevent a catastrophe.
Because I only weigh 87 pounds.
Yeah, hence the rattling sound on your way back down the pole.
If you've got it, flaunt it.
What you've got is a pair of white pancakes atop 2 toothpicks beneath a Sharpay's nightmare.
I'm as tight as a drum.
Only where you could afford it.
My doctor is a genius.
I still can't believe that you managed to find a plastic surgeon actually named Dr. Frankenstein.
I like a gothic twist.
That explains the pitchforks outside the theater.
If those squares can't handle a patriotic number, they can stuff it.
Patriotic. You shimmy down that pole, snatch the flag, somersault, and ta-da, on your feet with it tied around your neck as a cape.
It's a bird. It's a plane.
It's a constitutional violation.
Freedom of expression.
Oh, Martha, can't you express yourself in other ways?
I'm like lightning, Wendell. You can't cage me.
I think you mean bottle.
I say tomato, you say tomato.
No, no one says tomato.
You just did.
Touché.
I have to express myself, Wendell. If I don't sing, I don't exist.
But couldn't you do it with clothing on?
I have to be completely exposed.
Pasties?
Just me and the audience. Nothing between us.
Oh, just a flag for a cape.
And a song in my heart.
And a flapping sound when you vibrato.
I like a good shake on the right note.
I can't deny your pitch was spot on.
All 8 octaves.
3 tops.
Not if you count the overtones.
I do have to admit, it was quite captivating.
Oh, really? Oh, what number did I do?
With the room successfully hushed and the choir in stunned confusion, you began. A wispy alto, a familiar tune from an unexpected source, gentle and sweet somehow, and the audience, though reluctant, you coaxed them in and... Well, by the second verse, tears in their eyes, the choir joined in. Somewhere over the rainbow.
Oh, I knew it. That song always gets them.
And the big note at the finish, and the masters of harmony, the choir surrounding you in a major 7 chord, circled around, and they floated you from the stage in their arms.
Blowing kisses for the curtain call.
No, actually, you passed out cold in the wings. I had to carry you home.
My hero.
You sang in your sleep the whole ride.
Somewhere.
No, a big spender, actually.
Oh, I always did like a show tune.
How about I sing you the closer now, and we get some rest?
Well, as long as it's my favorite song.
Which one's that?
Oh, you know which one. My lullaby.
Ah, yes, of course.
Martha, the sun has bowed its head. Our friends have all gone home to bed. We've burned the candle end to end. Remember what I've said time and time again. Every evening ends, but you don't need to fret. I'll hold you through the night. Deep sigh, my love, sleep tight. Run out to sea, gently streaming as you dream, right here by me. Martha, the moon is on its way. On pinhole skies, the palm trees sway. Tomorrow is another day. Remember what I say. Though a day will fade, another one is made. Never be afraid, I'll be by your side. Sleep tight, my love. Good night.
Good night.